Good morning! This is Michael Albright from Down in Front, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling.
Good morning! This is Jonah Ray from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling, and I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for February 21st, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenfly.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, oh boy, the weather, Chip.
The weather has been it's been beautiful.
It has been fantastic.
And when I was wearing my powdered wig yesterday, it got all pasty because it started mixing with my sweat.
President's Day, Chip in his powdered wig.
And I was glistening, and I was mixing the powder up with
We went down to Peoria for our winter family thing, and the family was sitting outside with no shoes, no socks out, and sitting on the grass going, "Hey, it's really nice out here. It's about 65 degrees.
It was perfect. And by the way, if anybody ever wishes to know what spring is like in eastern North Carolina, where I grew up, this would be what the weather is like.
Okay, so it's your doing. Chip has manipulated the weather so that it's more like North Carolina.
Well, I will tell you that in North Carolina, in March, we will get cold. So okay. It goes back and forth. You have a day in the 30s and then a day in the 60s, which certainly doesn't, it means you get a cold here and
right,
there.
Right, that's what I was about to say. You get sick that way.
But the beauty of this is, man, what a perfect weekend. I took my Yorkie out, which is, if you guys don't know what a Yorkie is, Yorkies are about, 6 pounds?
And it's a dog.
Yes, and we went for a 6 mile, 7 mile walk.
Nice.
So as you know, they are. If you get like 1,000 of them, you can run them through the tundra. Nice. Put yourself on a sled. They're so small. Anyway, we walked as much as we possibly could this weekend.
Nice. It's been beautiful. It's a beautiful world that we live in. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. It's a better world now, Chip, because Mystery Science Theater 3000 is coming to Netflix.
All right. So last week we had Michael Albright from Down in Front.
Yep.
And also the Mystery Science Theater Chicago Club that meets on Meetup. And you guys were preparing for a week of activities with Mystery Science Theater.
What a week.
And you experienced it.
What a week this has been, Chip.
Tell us more about it.
I am elated with the concept of the new Mystery Science Theater. I got a chance to see Experiment 1101. It is as good as you think it is.
Is that a movie?
It is a movie.
Okay.
I can tell you that much. But it's,
you got to see one of the shows that will eventually air on Netflix.
When they announce a date on Netflix, then I can tell you what that date is, but I don't know what the date is of this premiere, and I can't tell you very much about this other than
you enjoyed it.
Loved it, Chip.
Excellent. And Albright liked it too.
Albright was right there with us. He was holding court with his friends, his circle of people from Chicago, and I was trying to nose my way into the group to be a part of the action. This was
great. Big smiles on everybody.
Everybody was enjoying themselves. Everybody had fun. We stayed out till like midnight and then drove home
on a weekday night,
on a school night.
And you took your son.
And I took my 15-year-old.
So and there's the other question. So you as a young adult, but he's a young man.
Yes.
So as a young man, did he enjoy it as much as you did?
He did very much. He was laughing at the movie just as much as I was, maybe not catching all of the riffs the way that I do. It's certainly an old man's game.
Well, but as Mystery Science Theater markets itself, and while it's nice to have you as its audience, it's important for it to remain fresh for the young audience. That's the audience that carries these things.
And this new season does that very well. This new season is certainly ready for the millennials.
Okay.
And it appeals to that millennial humor just as much as it appeals to us Generation Xers.
And we have Patton Oswalt, or Ratatouille himself. We have Felicia Day, which is from The Guild.
Right.
So we have a really good cast in this.
Jonah Ray is the new host. We've got Baron Vaughn and Hampton Yunt.
And he had a comedy show last Saturday, too, at North.
Right. Hampton Yunt stuck around Saturday night and did his stand-up comedy at North Bar. I didn't make it to that one. But, boy, boy, oh boy, am I excited.
So this sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be someday.
All right, so let's talk briefly about one of the things that we mentioned, one of the shows we mentioned. CBS has a show called Hunted.
Yes.
And it comes on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game show. The premise of it is they tap your shoulder, you're given an hour to scour out of town,
mm-hmm.
and then they've got a group of CIA, or former CIA, former FBI, former...
law enforcement of all sorts.
Oh, yes. Basically hunting you down.
Yes.
They're given three or four states that you can to work in.
A reasonable small area for the game show. Yeah.
So you have South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and part of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So you can move around any of these places. You have to stay hidden for 28 days.
In order to win.
In order to win. Many of these people get to a little over 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
And then it falls apart. So tell me a little bit about this, because, by the way, I've been watching it on demand.
Yes.
So tell me how your experience of watching this has been.
I have been watching it almost live on the Wednesday night when it actually airs.
Okay.
But not this week, because this week was way too busy. I didn't catch this week's episode. This is one of my favorite reality shows. I don't like reality shows in general.
Mm-hmm.
This one is intriguing. That's why I told you to start watching it, because I think that there's something here that we can learn from all of this activity in Hunted.
The thing that you'll learn is staying off the grid is next to impossible.
It is very complicated in the 21st century to be hidden.
So, you know, one of the contestants... anytime you go to an ATM,
mm-hmm.
not only are they flashing your picture,
mm-hmm.
They know it's you. The police can be at that place within minutes.
And they're looking at all the cameras around that ATM to see if they can spot the vehicle that you're driving in and catch the license plate that you are holding on that vehicle so that they can track that.
So if you got in someone else's vehicle, they're looking for you, the clothing that you're wearing. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of information and how quickly they can respond.
They immediately can get units in place and capture somebody that they find. Even the couple that was driving on the highway,
mm-hmm.
the cameras on the highway were able to pick up their license plate.
Immediately. So as you're going down 90, uh-huh. We're in the Chicago area, as you pass these places, not only is it looking at your license plate, that's the reason why you can't cover up your license plate anymore.
Right.
Because it's saying Steve's car is at mile whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Steve's car is a mile away from that. You know, they know which direction you're going in, and they can pick that up.
And send units to wherever you're headed.
Even if you bought burner phones, that mm-hmm. they could find the place that you purchased them from. They can get down to a group of numbers that could possibly be.
And they can track all of those numbers. They have all of your contacts. They can track all of your contacts. And when you make contact with a stranger, they then can track all of those people. This is an eye-opening show. If you get a chance, you should really see Hunted on CBS.
I think so, too. It just shows... Even if you decide to rough it out,
mm-hmm.
you're heading off to the woods, the boredom of that eventually means you make a stupid mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you went headed to the coast and you wanted to hang out on people's porches and all that other stuff, you know, you could be sold out at that point.
That one was an amazing one where they actually used dating websites and they plastered those guys' faces, wanted posters, to something like 50,000 Americans. Just fishing, hoping that somebody on that coast would see that dating website and see those men walking and put two and two together.
You know, which brings up making sure that you have secure, encrypted data.
Mm-hmm.
Even with that, they were able to pull that up. And I'm thinking of LastPass or OnePass,
mm-hmm.
the idea of having a manager and having one of those managers generate those passwords for you.
And two-factor authentication. If you have two-factor authentication, you need to have your phone or something in addition to that something that you know, that password. And that's one more layer of security.
And they were breaking into people's Facebook pages.
Uh-huh.
They were posting things, looking for who would respond to it. I mean, I'm telling you, this is a truly eye-opening experience because you recognize... that as smart as you think you are, if you need to bug out...
There's a room full of smart people looking for you.
You better you're going to expect to, one, not have any technology with you,
mm-hmm.
and then basically work on a cash system because you can't even get to an ATM.
Because in this game show, every time they go to an ATM, they're not allowed to have any cash other than the money they get from the ATM.
Sure.
So anytime they go to an ATM, they are tracked immediately.
And you're immediately going, ugh. When somebody makes a silly mistake.
And it's edited so well. The storytelling of reality programming is important. And they edit together all of this footage into a very intriguing story. And yes, you get emotionally connected to these characters that they've edited together and made interesting.
And the one that we're really following is this attorney. Yes. That is a former gang member, maybe?
Former gang member turned attorney. Really smart guy.
Oh, he's jumping two or three steps ahead. I'm telling you, as smart as you think you are, there are plenty of smart people on here, and some not so smart. As smart as you think you are, they are catching up pretty quickly.
Yes.
And you think you can get away, and certainly not happening to any of these people.
Dumb mistakes. A lot of dumb mistakes. And we as the audience get to see what the dumb mistake was and put it down in our memory as, let's not do that.
All right, so it's on CBS On Demand, or you can watch it Wednesday nights.
That's right.
What's opening this week, Steve?
This week we've got a good list of some smaller films, not any blockbusters this week. The first one's called Bitter Harvest.
Now, this is the one I'm most interested in.
Yeah.
This is about Stalin.
Yeah, it features Max Irons, the son of Jeremy Irons.
Oh, how cool is that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so this is, I hope I'm going to pronounce this right, the Holodomor.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of the Holocaust, like...
In Ukraine in 1930s.
And this is where Stalin basically came and took the food from those people and left them to starve.
Mm-hmm.
It is certainly a good example of the challenges the Soviet Union ran into, ultimately the challenges of central planning. Although this very same type of event happened in Ireland with the British coming in and basically taking all the potatoes away. And, we know what happened in Ireland, the famine.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this is on the same level, except for it was millions.
Right.
Millions and millions and millions. What an awful way to die. So anyway, this is the backdrop of a movie.
Right. There's a love story. This is a love story that has that the backdrop,
with death. Yeah.
Right. Well, hey, people fell in love in the middle of all of this mess in the 1930s. A lot of us are here in this country because of love in the 1930s.
All right. So last year we had an anniversary show.
Yes, we did. And it was great. Thank you to everybody who came out to the Blue Box
We were showing all the movies that were coming out the following week.
Yes.
And everybody was so excited. And then we showed the one for Tulip Fever.
Tulip Fever.
Which was rescheduled. And I don't think anybody was excited about seeing this film, but it's coming out this week.
And it might be a really good movie, but boy, when they reschedule a movie for as much as they've rescheduled this movie, really gives you pause.
All right, so Tulip Fever, the backdrop of this was the tulip speculation that was going on. There, historically, there was a speculation where, very similar to Beanie Babies, that tulip bulbs were worth some money, and different tulip bulbs were worth more money, and they would make these hybrids of them, and anyway, it got way, way out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And as most speculations do, eventually the prices just crumble, and a lot of people's wealth was just destroyed. And this is a story where that is the backdrop.
For a love story.
That's right. There's a husband and wife, and there's a young painter who comes in, and there's a love story. Anyway, for all those people who were just waiting to see this film...
Which there are a lot of people. I've been looking at the IMDb chat for this, and there are a lot of people who have been waiting for this film for a long time.
Well, I'm ready to see it. I'm going to see it. And but those people who are listening to our show, I just want to let you know it's coming out.
It's an all-star cast. You've got Zach Galifianakis, Tom Hollander, Dame Judi Dench is in there, along with Matthew Morrison and Kevin McKidd, who is one of my favorite actors.
Get Out.
Get Out is our next film. Yeah. It reminds me of the Eddie Murphy. Remember the Eddie Murphy? It's a beautiful house, baby. Get Out. out. Too bad we can't stay, baby. I think that's where the title comes from.
It could. All right, so this is a truly a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is a gentleman who's black, who's African-American.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his white girlfriend. They're mm-hmm. going to go up to wherever place it is to meet their girlfriend's parents.
Uh-huh.
And then it becomes a horror movie.
Immediately.
So yeah. There you go. Scary, scary, scary.
Yeah, the trailer is really intriguing. It's really scary looking, like something really bad is happening to these people.
Yeah. So anyway, this one looks like I'll end up watching this eventually.
Yeah, when this is streaming, I do want to see this one because it has that suspense factor, like a Twilight Zone. This mm-hmm. is so bizarre and so scary. You should check out the trailer for this one in our show notes.
We've got two smaller films that are coming out. They're limited. You may be able to find them streaming or at your local art theater.
Mm-hmm.
One's called 2307 Winter's Dream.
Winter's Dream. This is our sci-fi pick of the week. This is one of those really dark sci-fi. If you watch the trailer on this one, there's a lot of gore. This is like horror movie level sci-fi.
Well, it kind of looks Terminator, the first Terminator.
Which was very gory.
But it's like even how they present the film mm-hmm. has sort of an old-timey look to it. You know, obviously this is a lower budget, I would say maybe television-type budget.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, still very capable of telling a sci-fi story.
Right.
And this is about a humanoid...
Rebellion.
So there you go. You've got it all right there. There's your science fiction. And the other one's really interesting because it was written, directed... starring young people.
Yes, this is like a high school project, a really smart high school project. It's called Teardrops of Pain. I love the play on words.
It's either paint or pain tea.
You're right. It's about an art group that are doing some things to change the world. This group of teenagers who have the power to do whatever they want to do and what it takes to do those things.
And like I said, it was written, it's acting, the mm-hmm. actors are young people, it was written by young people and directed by young people. So, I mean, this reminds
me... so much talent.
Yeah, maybe of a prep school type of production. This is a much richer week for movies.
Yes, but as long as you're not going to the theater. These are not ones that you're going to find in your local theater too much. But when they're streaming, I look forward to seeing quite a few of these. Brings us to our book. At our book of the week, you have found this book. You have been talking to me about this for weeks. It's called The Atlantis Gene, and it is part of the Origin Mystery Series by A.G. Riddle. Tell me all about this one.
All right, so the Atlantis Gene, a thriller, is the first part. And this is a part of a three-part series.
Mm-hmm.
A.G. Riddle probably would have been a person that Steve would have enjoyed knowing early. That is not his real name, by the way. He is an IT professional. Back when he was a young kid, he kind of became the IT guy for his local community outside Charlotte.
Nice.
With his buddy. They ended up creating a number of IT firms. Made some money. He moved outside Raleigh and decided he was going to be a writer.
Excellent.
And so this was his first book that he brought out. And because of the success of it, CBS has picked up the rights for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be a major motion picture.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Yes, this definitely sounds like a guy that I would like to hang out with. Maybe I should ask him to be on the show and we could talk about all the things that he's done in life.
All right, so let me describe how this kind of plays out. If you're a person who likes Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm, I do.
All right.
I am.
There's an Indiana Jones flavor to it. There's an adventure part to it that you will get along with us. And in addition to that, eventually you recognize there are Nazis. Because Atlantis, Nazis, they kind of go together.
No, but okay. Moving on.
The other part that we'll recognize is there's actually a person doing autism research in this.
Excellent.
So that plays part of the story. There is a Michael Crichton-ish level to this in the sense that there's enough science with enough plausibility to kind of make a story of this.
Excellent.
There's a Dan Brown part of this where there's enough history and pseudo-history that you can grasp onto that once again kind of leads us to. So I'm trying to kind of pigeon this guy into a way that if you have interest in Atlantis and you want to know a little bit about all these subjects that I'm talking about, I think you're going to go along for a fun ride.
That's where CNN and Coca-Cola are, right?
Exactly.
No, that's Atlanta, not Atlantis. Sorry.
All right. Our story starts off with a ship right outside Antarctica. Outside, there is an old sub, a Nazi sub out there that's kind of exposed itself. Two of our men characters go in to explore this. They find something. The woman makes a phone call, and that starts our mystery.
Sounds kind of X-File-ish to me, too.
Absolutely.
You are selling this book to me very well, sir.
We end up learning a whole bunch of stuff about these characters. Not to give away too much of it, but time plays a part of this.
Okay, now I'm going to read this book.
At some point, the history of this comes out. We don't really get involved with the Atlantis part. This is the setup, probably for the second book where mm-hmm. we get this. We do get into the ship, and it's major big. There are pictures of Antarctica without snow-covered pictures in real life, by the way. I mean, a lot of this type stuff ends up playing backdrop, where the writer knows enough of it, and he knows that you know enough of these little things. You go, oh, and you start creating your own little connections to all this fun stuff.
I'm in.
If there's any anything that we would like to say that there's too much, I think as we were kind of playing this out, there are many ideas that are getting thrown to you in this.
Okay.
Maybe there's too much. The chapters are incredibly short. You know, some of them are a page or two long. Some of them are half a page. This is meant to where you can jump in for a little while. You can jump out. And I really enjoyed this book. I don't know if I'm going to pick up the next one immediately. I'm still working on the Two Towers and to get through that. And we should probably we'll review that next week. But this was a fun little read.
Excellent.
Where with enough of, like I said, enough plausibility that you can suspend that and go along for the ride, and you can become the Indiana Jones character.
Or the Mulder. I'm thinking more Mulder with your description there, but I am definitely in on this one. It's called The Atlantis Gene. It's by A.G. Riddle, and you can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com. Brings us to our appetite, our app of the week. And, you know, I was in the car for like 5 hours yesterday, so I turned to my 10-year-old who I was sitting next to because my 15-year-old was driving.
You have a chauffeur now.
Yes, I do. I do. I may never drive again in my life.
It's time to go ahead and invest in that limo.
Yes. And a hat. He needs a hat. I turned to the 10-year-old and I said, 10-year-old, what is your app of the week? And he said, oh, Dad, you have to play Roll the Ball. And I went, what's that, son? And it took out my pipe and my slippers were there. And then he said, oh, that's another one of those puzzle games. This is a freemium game. It's free to buy and you can play it just fine with ads.
So you can play it on Android or on iOS.
Yes, it's on both because we are a bilingual family. We have both. So we've been playing this on both. I sat and played 50 rounds of this for the next half an hour while I was sitting in the car being chauffeured around.
So tell me about this game.
This one's a puzzle game. It's very similar to the old Labyrinth. Okay. That's the first thing that came to your mind when I said we're doing Roll the Ball. That old game where you pretended to tilt the Labyrinth table to get the ball to go to a different place.
Yeah, maybe your grandparents had it. Mm-hmm. It was like a square block of wood, and then you had
the two knobs,
and you had the metal marble that you would move around.
And then that was one of the first games on the iPad was that game. Mm-hmm. And this is similar to that, but not exactly the same. You have to make your own labyrinth. You have to solve the puzzle, get the ball from point A to point B. And it's a freemium game. It's free to play. I played it for free and just ignored all the ads. But this is a game that is one of those that makes a lot of money. This game makes over $75,000 a day.
And that's pretty amazing. All right, so you can get the game for free.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you may choose to get a cheat code.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to pay for that. And my assumption is 99 cents.
Right.
And you, during the time that you downloaded the game to you stop playing the game, whether it's a month from now, 6 weeks from now, 2 months from now,
mm-hmm.
at some point, you're going to say, I need a cheat code.
Right.
And you're going to pay for it. So they make $75,000 a day on that.
A day.
That's pretty amazing.
If you wanted to get rid of the advertising, which advertising can be annoying, that's a $2 add-on. Okay. So I could see maybe if I was really getting into this game and really wanting to play this for more than a half an hour, getting rid of the advertising might be worth $2 to me.
Sure.
This is an amazing piece of technology right now. There's so many games out there that are working on this model that are making a lot of money on people handing over real money to play with fake money in a video game.
And this is one of your son's favorite games. And when you got an opportunity that you had time that you could play one, you enjoyed that.
I enjoyed my time for the time that I was in the car playing this game.
Okay.
Yeah. So he plays the new Madden Mobile, and he asks for real money to hand over to John Madden in this game to play with fake money in that game. And I think that's where the kids are at with gaming right now. They're not buying a Nintendo. They're not buying a $400 deck. They're buying a $5 app to play for a period of time.
The entry level is very inexpensive. Most families can jump into that.
Right.
If you like something or dislike it, you're not buying a $50 or $60 game, where if you disliked it, I mean, you're kind of stuck.
You're still out, yeah.
You know, or you have to find a way to sell it off to someone. This would be, I mean, the entry level is very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. The play time is something you typically learn very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, you know, spend the time that you want to mastering it or abandon it.
Are there any games that you ever got into so much that you handed over real money to play, other than a deck, a Nintendo?
No.
No, not one. How about you out in the, how about the listeners? Let's open this up to the listeners. What's your game? What's your freemium game that you threw money at? Did you buy donuts for The Simpsons, Tapped Out? Give us an email. Give us a phone call. We want your feedback on this. We want to hear from you.
I was going to say 4 or 5 years ago, when was it
Farmville?
Farmville was on.
Oh, boy. My mother loves Farmville.
Well, does she still play?
Every hour of every day.
Okay. Well, I played Mafia Wars.
Okay.
And I never paid for anything.
But there are those who do.
But I also work by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my water cooler time, I could go over and I could do something. I eventually abandoned it because it became too demanding of my time.
Yeah.
And as most people do, and eventually you get to the point where you do have to pay for stuff, and you can choose to or not to.
So that's my question for you guys, is what is your freemium game? What is your guilty pleasure? Give us a call. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS, or send us an email. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Let's get a poll going. That's what we need.
Mr. Steve, are there any fancy news articles this week?
Brings us to our Now the News. The first thing on the news this week is the future is real. And it's here, Chip. The future is here. There's a visor that you can purchase, and it allows the blind to see.
The blind to see? It sounds like Easter.
Jordy LaForge, paging Jordy LaForge. It's here, man. Star Trek is real.
It is real. And this is exactly, it sits over this lady's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you go to our notes, you can actually watch the video of it. It sits over her eyes. She takes it off. She explains how her blindness works.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a big blur. But what this ends up doing is it takes it and, I guess, allows her to concentrate. She's an artist.
Oh, wow.
The machine that fits over her eyes is $10,000.
For now.
For right now. Well, all technology is expensive early on.
Mm-hmm.
It's being improved. Usually your insurance will not cover it.
For now.
For now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is pretty amazing. And this absolutely goes down back to LeVar Burton's character in Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes.
And in fact, the interesting part about this is that we immediately saw was the day they published the story was
Jordy LaForge and LeVar Burton's birthday, February 16th.
So I don't think it was, I think it was probably planned.
I think it was probably planned. The idea of having a computer see for you is something that Star Trek came up with, and life is imitating art here once again. It's fantastic. This week, all the major wireless carriers changed their minds about unlimited data.
Well, the important part of this is, one, you don't have to worry about data on your cell phone plan.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part is, if you have a cell phone, which I would say, Everybody listener does. We have, You need to look at your plan.
Yes, you need to make contact with your carrier and see what the offer is for this unlimited data. They're advertising it at one price point. There's different prices for the different carriers, Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, and AT&T. But I looked at the offering that they had on the commercials and said, oh, that's too expensive. I can't possibly afford that. That's outside of my price range. I went and logged into my Verizon account, and I found that they were offering a different price, and it was very reasonable for me to switch to the unlimited plan.
Well, I have an unlimited plan, but I have a legacy plan. And the deal with AT&T and the legacy plan is you're still paying for text and cannot tether. So it means I can't connect my laptop.
Or your tablet or anything else.
That's right. To my my phone, which you can tether through your plan.
Yes, I can.
But it was unlimited. Well, they had announced it was unlimited for DirecTV and UVerse subscribers.
Right.
Now they just basically said it's unlimited for everyone else.
Anybody.
So
this is a big change.
It is. Basically, they're saying they have the capacity to allow you to stream your favorite podcast. If you want
too much scrolling.
Sure. You want to listen to music. You want this stuff is becoming. Standards. They're creating the standards for this.
Yes.
And if you think about a new car today, you may have Pandora streaming in it. You may end up having TuneIn Radio streaming in it. I mean, it changes how you'll use this technology.
And it's going to revolutionize all of those industries like TV and radio, because why would you listen to the radio if you have access to whatever song it is that you wanted to listen to from your unlimited streaming?
And if you can dream it, they can create it for you. You can take a class as you're driving to school or something of that nature.
Or just audiobooks. Audiobooks are amazing in the car. If you're not listening to audiobooks, you should. This is a huge change. I really strongly recommend that all of our listeners look into this.
Look into your plan.
Look into your plan. Every time that there's a new change to the offerings of the plans, I do look into it to see if it's a good idea for me. Sometimes it's a really good idea. This one took me by surprise, and I am now an unlimited cell phone user.
How awesome is that?
Excellent.
All right, anything else going on, Steve?
Oh boy, back to Mystery Science Theater for a second. With the new Netflix show coming out in the not too distant future, and we still don't have a date yet, but hopefully we will have a date soon. With that new show comes a bevy of new products that they are trying to sell to Steve.
They do. It looks like Dark Horse Comics,
yes,
who lost Star Wars to Marvel a few years ago, they have become the comic creator. They're going to actually bring out Mystery Science Theater 3,000 comics.
And they will have some of my money as a result.
They also have all sorts of toys and things coming out also.
Yes, there are many toys that I will have in my collection from Mystery Science Theater in the very near future. The Funko Pop figures. I have a pretty good collection of Star Trek and Doctor Who ones. I need a Tom Servo.
Well, you can see easily that Mystery Science Theater's characters could be all ages. They could appeal to young adults. They can appeal to young children. I mean, they definitely could write these characters to any group of them of these people.
Right.
And obviously toys are universal.
And there's a coffee table book that Dark Horse is also going to be putting out that I will buy a coffee table.
Well, let's end with the big announcement, Steve.
Romance,
because, you know, Valentine's was last week. And so many of our listeners met their girlfriends or met their boyfriends at that point.
Yeah.
And maybe they decide they're going to move a little quickly.
There's probably some proposals last week.
Sure. And where would you get married other than Vegas right now?
Oh, absolutely. Vegas is the capital, the love capital of the world.
And, you know, you could become the Elvis. You could have the Elvis wedding there.
I love Elvis.
They have all sorts of, 24-hour type of places.
Including, you now can get married in Taco Bell in Las Vegas.
Well, you can apply to win that opportunity.
Okay.
And so, you know, some of us like some Mexican food.
Oh, sure.
And some of us enjoy Taco Bell.
I love Taco Bell.
And so where else can you spend $3
for
your lunch?
That sounds spicy. That's a spicy wedding right there.
But you could get married at Taco Bell.
Excellent.
And ay caramba.
Ring the bell. Wedding Taco Bells.
You can get
Wedding Taco Bells. I get it. I figured out the code.
So, you know, live the dream. The dream is here now. You can, you know, if you're blind, you can see.
Yeah.
If you're getting married, Taco Bell's a place to go.
And Mystery Science Theater is coming back to Netflix. That's I'm a little focused on that this week.
I think we've got all the fun stuff. What do you think, man?
I think we can come back next week. I think we have all the information that we need to survive another week. If you need more information, you can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Find all the information that you need. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflug.
We'll see you in the future.
I just